Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Politics on the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design, and hosted by Cal Nez himself.
Hey,
politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nell.
This is Cal Mez. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. We are live this evening. I was having some technical issues, but nonetheless, I'm here. So thank you very much. And all you listeners out there, thank you. Let's see, who's the furthest from the West Coast? I think I've got one caller on the line that's calling from the West Coast. Also, who's calling from the North, South, and East? Welcome, all you listeners. Last time we had a show called the Navajo Business Opportunity Act, NBOA, and quite interesting to me because I felt like that was a topic that we needed to talk about, and I think it's great information, something that you could utilize in doing your own thing, not having to rely on anybody, and you're going to live and really break all the strings, so to speak, from the federal government, from the Navajo Nation government, and you can do your own stuff over in your own neck of the woods on the Navajo Nation. So, you know, it's a very interesting topic, and that's business. But, you know, I've got to tell you, everybody, we've got to engage on business. You know, it might seem boring, but in a lot of cases, you know, I just don't see that, you know, that it, you could justify the fact that, you know what, working for someone else. Well, it's okay to have employment, but to be able to have, if you have ambition, you want to do something, you know, I don't know what's stopping you from doing so, because I think that, you know, you're able to deliver, and if you really want to do it, you can do it. So I'm going to start a series here within the next few days. And the series, basically what I'm going to do is, this is basically coming back off of our last show, is why that I'm saying this type of stuff. And because we're talking about business self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and doing your own thing, and really growing your economy within your own family, so to speak, for yourself, and then moving on from there. And it's going to change all sorts of stuff for everybody. And I will always advocate for that. I will always believe in that, and I just have a very difficult time thinking that we're going to continue to believe that the only way that we're going to do it is through the Navajo Nation government or United States government or anything like that, because I think there's some people that really, 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 really need the welfare system and the, you know, I love government cheese. I love the commodity, not neat, you know, but there's got to be a certain point where you're going to have to break your, break the apron strings. So, but anyway, so there's all those stuff, talking about business, that you're going to have to think about. And tonight, the topic is going to be pretty much open mic. But some of the things I want to, like I said, start with is, number one, is business. What are your thoughts on that? And I don't know, is it a boring topic? Is it a boring topic to you? And why is it boring? Is controversy something that's much more exciting? Dragging somebody down on Facebook, is that much more delightful? you know, think about that. Or is it better to bring negativity and bring somebody down than it is for you to call in and say, hey, you know what, this is my idea, this is what I think it's going to take, and bring some solutions. You know, it's easier to tear somebody down than it is to really bring some solid innovation. That's why politics is so popular. Man, we thrive on the fact that, hey, you know what, this is my idea, and that's your idea, and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, so for that reason, you know, open mic, you can talk about the event tomorrow, November 13th, Thursday, at 9 o'clock at Richie Nez's office, the Navajo Nation Office of Hearing and Appeals. They're going to be having the hearing for Mr. Myron McLaughlin versus Mr. Russell Begay. You saw that 168 pages or 62 pages filed by Mr. McLaughlin against Mr. Begay. There's that. And November 4th is obviously passed. We don't have a presidential elect that we are going to be planning on bringing in for the January inauguration. We've got the Navajo Nation Council delegate pretty much in place. And so, which brings me back into the other aspect of it, and that is that coming off the Chris Deschutney Navajo language fluency and talking about language, you know, are we that much further ahead? Are we that much further behind? Did that motivate you? Or did that just get you so turned off that you says, you know what, I don't want to even talk about this anymore, and I'm not even going to vote for the special election? And now I just heard today and read that Leonard Sosi is still trying to drum up this fluency issue. You know, it was a great idea, but I don't think that that's the job of the lame duck Navajo Nation Council to be talking about anything to start beginning initiating. They gotta just close up their business and, you know, the ones that are done, get ready to go home and start you know, planning on and helping the new transition literally taking place to bring the new Navajo Nation Council in. And that is that, okay, this is what's been done, this is where we've been, and this is how far we're going to go. You know what? It's going to be really kind of silly for the incumbent who lost, the ones that have been, that are now current, that are now saying, you know what, I'm not going to help them, we're just going to clear out the bank, and then good luck on the next one. You know what? If they're really for the people, they're going to go out there and help that nice transition to leave. There's enough budget. Here's an update. Here's my tally sheet for the last 4 years. And thank you and good luck. That's sort of a relationship and to be able to work together on this thing. So the other topic, speaking about language, I have a friend. I have a Navajo that is entered into a national competition. And it's going to be interesting how much interest, or is this something that just was a flying moment and we're going to go back to our status quo? And that status quo is that, you know what, I don't have time to teach or to speak Navajo to anybody. Did the Chris Deschutney case motivate any of you out there, the Navajo people, to teach your children, your friends, your grandkids, or whoever it is? Or is it just now, like I said, you're going back to your usual self? Well, there's a fellow who is from the Navajo Nation He's Navajo, and he is down in Sacramento, California, going to college, and it's going to be an interesting story. But I want to get more into that once we start talking about language. And language, you know, is it going to take something that is – well, see the angle that I have, ladies and gentlemen. The angle that I have is this. I feel the responsibility ultimately belongs to the family. Teach. To teach our children, teach our associates, to teach whoever it is. To teach Navajo. No matter how difficult and how complex maybe the language is, and even like to describe the copier, or even to describe items that are so non-Navajo that it's difficult to even describe it. But it doesn't mean that you should stop. And you can look at this thing and say, okay, and you point at the copier and say, that copier, use that. And there's all these sorts of things. You know what, just to say that I can't describe a copier, well, obviously we didn't have a copier, and that's not a Navajo word that you can go out there and say, okay, this defines the copy, or a copier, or a computer, or a jump drive, or anything that are so incredibly hard to describe. But you know what? You can still make it happen. So, you know, so I'll talk about that some more, and I'll talk to the guests once we get everything all in order. So, yeah, Lana, all those people, especially the ones that are right there in Hard Rock, Arizona. Yate, yate, yate. Otto Pinyon, what about that area? Hello, how are you? White Horse Lake. Thank you very much, and see if I can get somebody to call in from White Horse Lake. Or even better yet, have them call in from, Vanderwagon. Vanderwagon, New Mexico, just south of Gallup, New Mexico. Or somebody calling from, well, you know, border towns. So there's all sorts of issues that are now floating around out there. And, of course, the Navajo Nation Council, NBKYT, recommends override, and it is moving on. And they're going to be talking about this on starting tomorrow and Friday. You know, the language issue obviously needs to be addressed, but you know what? Not by this lame duck council. And you know what, whether it's a, you know, we need to address the Navajo fluency, but it's not the fact that, you know what, we're going to address it, because, you know, let's move forward. And another thing too that I'm having issues with is this. I think it is totally not something that I want to look at within the Navajo Nation government, is to have a two-branch government. A three-branch government with two of the branches that are potentially going to be going against each other. If Mr. Leonard Sosie's project or his legislation that he's trying to push through actually works, I think the new council's got to come in there and put that on their agenda and allow that to work. But to go out there and to try to throw something together right now that the new council might not even like, they might just undo it. But right now, they brought something together to try to develop something for the Chris Tschetschene situation. Although it's a great idea, but you know what, just to twist and do the law, I really listened to Catherine Benally. I think rather than talking about, you know what, I have nothing against Chris Tschetschene. I have nothing against the Navajo speakers. or the non-fluent Navajo. And we all know what fluency means and what non-fluency mean and who can qualify themselves to do so. It's not about the individual. It's about fault or the situation about the Navajo culture, the Navajo people, who are not taking the full they're not exercising their ability to teach their children and passing on the culture. You know what, it's great to just talk English. Maybe that is the easiest language. That's what it's about. And so now to throw something together just at the spur of the moment and say, you know what, this is going to qualify for XYZ. You know what, that's done and pass. And it's too bad that our people are where they're at. And I really hope that one thing that I can see the positive side of the thing is that Chris Cheney brought this awareness to us. And if there's anything that he gave to us on his way out, is that we're now thinking about our culture. We are now thinking about what the responsibility that we ought to take in terms of passing on the language. So, but nonetheless, I have real issues with somebody saying, I have a problem with Christus Cheatney, or I have a problem with the other side and that side and this side, because you know what, I really don't care. I want my candidate in there no matter what's going to happen and what you say, how you say it. I want my candidate because that was my vote. But you know what, where we forget what the intent of the law, the principle of the law versus the letter of the law. And that's where we're being manipulated, whether it's Christus Cheney or it could have been somebody else that didn't speak, that wasn't fluent in Navajo. You know, we're going to just say, okay, well, fine, we'll just bend the rules, and you know what? We will water this whole thing down. And that's what people are not understanding. When I say, you know, let's look at this, ladies and gentlemen. It's not, I don't feel at all that I'm putting down anybody or your votes or saying that, you know what, or any, you know what the law is. When the Supreme Court tells me, I say, okay, fine. You're the Supreme Court of the Navajo Nation. Okay. I'm done. I back off. Well, that's me. And so, but I suppose that people are going to continue to fight and move and press forward on this thing. So rather than looking at what the intent, is it the intent of the Navajo Nation Council who actually put this, whoever put this 11 qualification, I mean, they didn't throw it together just for the heck of throwing something together and saying that, you know what, maybe that should work. You know what, if we begin to look at the 11 for the Navajo Nation president and vice president's qualification, you know what, it might tell us something that maybe we're not doing. So just thoughts for you. And only you can determine how good that is. And whether those are qualifications that you, or philosophies and ideology that you live by. So, and the fourth item that I want to talk about was that, you know, yesterday was Veterans Day, and I want to thank my Che via my wife, Yolanda Francisco Nez, who is her grandfather was my, who was Nakai, and his name was Vincent Yaza. He's passed now, and he's from Fort Defiance, and I was honored and proud to have met him. So I want to just a shout out to all the Navajo and Native American veterans. Thank you very much. And I'm honored and proud to be with you and proud to know and that we've had the Navajo Code Talkers. And they're a treasure that we will always honor. It's beautiful, absolutely wonderful. And the fact of the matter is this, is that the Native Americans, despite that we just became a citizen of our United States just recent, within the last few decades, you know what, we still rate the highest of all groups of races in the United States who volunteer and enlist. And that's the Native American community. And per capita of each of the, of each group of race, we have the highest number. And that's something we ought to take pride in. So I want to thank the late Navajo Code Talker, Vincent Yaza from Fort Defiance, and all the other Navajo Code Talkers. I also want to thank Harry Benally, from Little Water, New Mexico, the late Harry Benally. And I knew him. He used to come to our house and with my aunt. It was just wonderful to know them and that they honored and loved my late Nali, Mary B. Nez and Bethany Nez, and how close is that love and appreciation between them and all the rest. And last night here, a meeting with the veterans, absolutely wonderful. I think the veterans need to be taken care of throughout the country. So it's wonderful. I had Lon and each on the so bad. You know, some of them, I mean, that's your only option. That's our only option, is to place who you are on the line in order for you to qualify as a warrior and to be able to be classified as Nazba. So now you're a veteran. In a lot of other culture, that's a heralded, you know what I mean. It's an honored and a very, very powerful way and certain rights, and it gives us a certain cultural sense of well-being, a sense of self-worth, and a pride that only we can get through our veterans. I'm sure that before we signed the treaties, some of those warriors who in the American mainstream term, veterans, there was quite a few. Every tribal member literally had to defend the culture, the tribe, not only against the elements, so to speak, but the other tribes. So, you know, it wasn't anything that, you know, if you really think about it, you know what, is it something that's, you know, that everybody thrived on? I think, you know, just the meaning that they wanted to, you know, they wanted to do. Who wants to go run around and make war? They had to defend their land, their family, and because of that, it created that status to be able to save the honor of the tribe. And I suppose that in certain times that I did hear this, that in extreme cases when there was drought and things of that nature, drought, famine, that the Navajo people or Native Americans throughout, you know, different tribes, they went through and actually did do that. They made war. And so it's kind of an interesting philosophy, but, you know, I can go into that. So, but overall, yesterday was Veterans Day. Thank you very much, all the veterans. And it's a discussion that we can carry on. And a lot of the Navajo Code Talkers, and this is the story for Vincent Yaza. Something that I wanted to share, that, you know, I wish I could find the funds to make a movie about this thing, about this story. And the story about Vincent Yaza is very, just absolutely beautiful. And I don't know who he traveled with, but the documentation of his journey is something that is literally about heroism. It's about being something that a tribe or anybody can take pride in this thing. Vincent Yaza was a young Navajo person right there from coal mine in Fort Defiance, Arizona. I'm sure there's other stories that people can share, but this story is something that I always think about. This Vincent Yaza, when there was a call for Navajo Code Talkers, he was chosen, and I guess they had to appear in San Diego. And when he went into, he had to show up by a certain amount of days. And I'm not sure about whether he's been to San Diego or knows how to get there and how they did it. I don't know. But to be able to explore and to draft and to to be able to acknowledge and say, you know what, I'm going into service to say goodbye to your family. And then how did they plan this trip? Okay, when we go and drive great distances, you pack, you know, you know, these days you have to have GPS, I guess, and then you get your hotel and you have a place to eat along the route, along the way when you get there, and then you have entertainment, and then you turn around and you have to buy gas and just, you know, so forth and so forth. You drive back to your location, and if it's a rental car, you turn it back in and you drive your old rickety vehicle like mine. Now, in those days, here's what happened. This is what makes this such a beautiful story. Mr. Vincent Yaza, and I guess, just, like I said, I don't know who he was with, but he didn't go alone. But when he was enlisted, somehow he got notification probably at the through the mail. He enlisted. And then instead of riding a vehicle, an automobile, or the train, or the bus, they got a horse, and they went to San Diego, California, from Fort Defiance, and they rode their horse. That's how he made it. San Diego. They made it, San Diego. Now just think about that thing. How do they plan? If you're riding a horse, you could have taken just a little bit of 4 or 5 miles, you just rode straight away. You would have met, maybe ended up in Los Angeles if you didn't navigate correctly. Now, many of you have driven between Arizona and California, San Diego, or Los Angeles, because the freeway goes through there and Barstow and, you know, on down Riverside, or if you go to Los Angeles, you know, there's many different ways to get there. And you've noticed the terrain. There's a terrain right there across the way where there's the Death Valley. There's the Great Desert, and there's the Great Grand Canyon. And how many hotels can you go to while you're riding a horse? And what if you did get a hotel? Where would you put your horse? And what bedroll? And what did they eat along the way? And how do they even feed their horses and their animals? So it's a fascinating story. And another thing that I always think about was that they've got to have ridden one of their most prized animal, one of their prized horse. Can you imagine? There was nobody that brought him back. And how far away from San Diego did they dismount and say goodbye to their horse? And let this horse run out into the wild. And how many horses were there? And the fascination that they left this, they had to let a horse go that brought them all that different way from their homeland, Navajo Nation. And how much clothes and items that they had with them. And did they have saddles? What happened to the saddles? What happened to their equipment that they had? And, of course, they went into, and they were underage. That was one thing. And the other thing is the fact that the horse that had to be released. You know, that's one thing that you sit here and think about and say, wow, I mean, what the Navajo people, I mean, they love their horses. No matter, I mean, the distance that they run, the endurance that they have. You know, there was nothing really to be said about the Navajo people's connectiveness to their animals. And to know that possibly that in the deserts of Southern California, if they survived, and how they managed to even sleep and navigate where the next water hole was for the horses, and how they made it. Just a fascinating story. And somewhere along the route, he sent a postcard to his girlfriend, and said that, you know, hi, honey, we are... You know, there's a copy of that. There's a copy of that postcard that the family still has. Very interesting. And I'm saying to myself, that's got to be a movie. And there's probably another story, many stories out there, but nothing. You know, I got to tell you this. The Navajo code, or actually the Wind Talker, I think it was a nice attempt. But you know what? I absolutely did not like the angle of the story. It was about the guy who was guarding, who sacrificed his life, and he came back from this and that, and then he had to go and guard the life. It was about the guard of the Navajo code talker. It shouldn't have been called Wind Talker. It should have been called the man who guarded a Native American or a Navajo code talker. And that's the way that the United States and the Lagana community cannot just go in there and say, okay, great, wonderful, this dude right here, let's honor the Navajo code talker. But instead, they had to tell their story by way of. And what's interesting even further that is that the director of that movie was, I believe he was Oriental. I might be wrong on that, but I believe so, because I remember some reason that stuck in my head. And to call a Wind Talker instead of a Coat Talker, or even to come up with a movie that says Coat Talker. So, you know, why not just have the producer or whoever the funders were behind that and say, you know what, let's just tell it from a story of a Navajo all the way from the Hogan all the way till the time he served and when he returned home. Not to go out there and pick some non-Navajo who gets to re-enlist or re-engages or whatever, you know, he goes back into the service and he just gets hooked up with this Navajo code talker and he's supposed to protect him. Yeah, you know, I'm sure there was, but then don't call it Wind Talker, call it somebody else. Or is it really about the telling, you know, let's not give all the story to the Navajo, to the Navajo people. Let's not give them 100% gratitude that they did serve. Maybe. I don't know. What do you think? Telephone number here, Politics on the Navajo Nation, is... What's the number here, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know? Do you guys know the number? I'm sure you know the number. Richard Begay, Ate, and Matt Brady. How are you? Good to have you call in and be online. And we have about just 50 minutes. So I will open up the lines and all these topics that I've talked about. You know, what do you think? What about Washington Redskins? I was watching the show the other night, college football. Love college football. And on there, they were the Florida State Seminoles were playing. And the announcer was saying, oh, yeah, Florida State Knowles. So the Seminoles have now become full Knowles. They're no more semi. So there's that, University of Utah running Utes. So whatever you want to bring up tonight. And then also another thing that I wanted to address is that tomorrow, 9 o'clock, like I said, is there something you want to talk about? And maybe that's part of the story that everybody gets pumped up about, and that's great. Whatever, you know, get your blood going, I guess you're welcome to call in. Russell Begay is being challenged to Myron McLaughlin. And I try to get Richie Nez to come back on for a show tonight, and he basically declined. He says, I don't want to get into the sensationalism and this stuff and that, and, you know. And I said, you know what, sensationalism. And I said, you are an employee of the Navajo tribe. And because you are employed for the Navajo tribe, and because I am a member of the Navajo tribe, and because I'm a concerned citizen, I'm calling to find out what this whole thing, what, you know, it's totally different. So in other words, here's another philosophy by another governmental employee who thinks that, you know what, this is none of your dang business, public entity. You know, it's just something that we need to just stop saying to one another. When you go to the governmental office up here or there, meaning off-reservation metropolitan area, go in there and ask the mayor's office or the governor. And ask them and say, you know what, could you give us an information update what you suspect is going to happen? They will answer you. They will try to answer you. If there's some things that are confidential, they'll work with you. But just to say, you know what, I'm not interested, and don't bug me because I have this, you know, I don't want to put sensationalism or public entity. Why are people who get in those type of positions begin to think that they're going to dictate to you, to the Navajo people, and say that, you know what, because I'm sitting behind this desk, I can say whatever I want to. You know, it's something that's it's going to take a while for the Navajo people and for people that are doing that, and that, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And as, when we begin to value each other on an equal basis, and that working for the tribe and work and being the elected leader of a tribe, because the public cast a vote for you, technically you're working as a public servant for the people. And that's why, and if they're not performing, we can make a change. And the next change is, let's vote a new person in. And we'll let you know how much your loftiness is something that I don't necessarily agree with. So therefore, I won't complain, take you on publicly, and I don't need to carry a bat around to, you know, to challenge you. But I will challenge you by way of that I'm just going to cast a vote for a different candidate. And that's how we can make changes. So that's the lineup for this evening. So we will open up. We got about 45 minutes left in the show now. Thank you very much. And I'm very, very curious to find out how we're going to address the Navajo fluency issue, and how that we intend to carry on the Navajo language. And I'm going to tell you about this story, and I'll bring the guests on. And again, I will tell the guest who is joining us from California that, you know what, maybe the product is wonderful, but I don't want to be talking about the product. I don't want to mention the name of the product yet. But I want to talk about the philosophy and what drove you to get this. And so please, you know, Matt, remember that as we talk about this thing. So Mr. Richard Begay is calling all the way from, oh my gosh, what did I forget? I know what I forgot. I forgot, whether it's Alamo or Tojile, I'm sure he'll give us an update again. There's other callers calling in, and do appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. This is Cal Nez. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nez.
Cal Nez, Navajo Nation, thank you very much for joining us, and all those people that are now on listening in through the internet and throughout the world, thank you very much. And all those that are, again, a belated thank you to all the veterans. And also Navajo, New Mexico, Yate, Kerahonotini, Sawmill, Nihisto, Yehat, Lan, and Sawmill, Arizona, And it's really interesting that that road that goes from between Sehil to Tsebenkahotan. Is it Tsebenkahotan or Ten, or is it the other one? Which one is it, Yas or Zas? Or is it Chaho or is it Chahash'o? Which one is it? So that jumps in and out of Arizona and New Mexico, and I always thought that the other side of the mountain, meaning from my area, now, me and my two sisters and my little brother, and that needs caught. If there's a mysterious vehicle driving around, we used to hide. So, and the interesting thing now is that we fast forward to today. I married a Benetni, and she's from Fort Defiance, Arizona. So, they're not bad. So, I used to be scared of them. So, I can't on that. And so, sawmill. Arohat is such a forest lake. Low mountain. Wow, how big is the Navajo Nation? And Lupton, Nahatatzi, for all you people out there, who is, I'd love to hear from you. So I am now pushing the, I'm looking at the callers, and they're, you know, there's quite a few people looking in. So this evening, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the Navajo language. The Navajo language fluency, since this thing has now exploded on a global level, the Navajo people, you know, internally on the Navajo Nation, and not only just for our, but all cultures. I mean, it was just something that, and is it something that has brought awareness, and was it in a positive way, and is it something that we need to think and continue to address? Well, the obvious answer is yes. We need to stay in there. We need to work and do whatever we can. And here's one thing that's quite interesting to me. I just went to the John of the Navajo. It's a Facebook page. You know, I hate to mention or promote another web Facebook page. And to me, I just would think that that be a general, because it says John of the Navajo. There's quite a few people that are members on here, and it's a top. And I saw that they are endorsing Chris Tischetny. I mean, nothing against Chris, but I'm saying that if you're going to have a my page, Politics on the Navajo Nation, I never put myself in that type of position to say, okay, well, you know, even though I was the host of the show, I gave it up and moved on, and then I'm now back to this thing once I became a candidate. But I never pushed myself where it became a conflict of possible conflict of interest. And Matt Brady, Sacramento, California. Can you hear me? I think Matt went to sleep on me here. Are you okay, Matt? Well, I guess Matt's on hold or is not hearing me.
I'm here
Matt,
now.
Matt? Oh.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I can hear you now. So did you go grab a hamburger or something quickly to eat over there while you're sitting here jabbering away?
I had my phone was accidentally on mute.
Oh, I've had that happen. It's like, why is this person not hearing me? We were talking about earlier about the Navajo language, and of course, yes, this is really has just exploded in terms of awareness. I don't know if it's in a positive way or maybe but the interest at the time, yes, people were very, very interested. And I'm glad that we are going to talk about this evening. And that is not so much from the candidate standpoint, but I want to talk about it from the Navajo culture. The philosophy and the idea of why that law might have been in place and whether it's emphasized the awareness and, like in your case, you know, like I said, I don't want to mention the product name, but you just happened to get a program, and it's now moving forward. But the question is not so much that you're where you're at right now, but the motivation of why that you went and you had to resort. And what is your feeling as a result of that now that you have advanced your position? Let me kind of just give you some background information for those listeners who just joined us. I have a guest that's calling in from California, Sacramento, and he'll introduce himself and give us that. But he entered a national competition, and he was one of the top 10 that were selected. And he's going to be... He's got a video out, and he's got all sorts of stuff, and we won't talk about that at this point, but we'll slowly inch this out. But I don't know when that competition is over and if there's a deadline or not. But he'll go into that, but mostly that here he is, and congratulations to Matt. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
How is this working? So. That's where it's at. So could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and all the questions that I ask?
My name is Matt Brady. I live in Sacramento, California. My family is from the Little Mountain, Chitizat area. Most of my college career was a foreign language major. I can speak Spanish and Japanese, and currently adding a fourth to the list, our very own Dinetazad. It's definitely proved quite challenging.
Matt?
Yes.
I can't hear you anymore.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
So
you know that's
I'm
a commercial
sure.
on the for a wireless phone cellular company. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So go ahead, Matt Brady.
Hello, my name is Matt G. Brady. I live in Sacramento, California. I attend California State University, Sacramento. I am a studier of foreign language at university. I can speak Spanish and Japanese, and currently trying to add a fourth to the list, our very own Dinetazad, through means of a computer software that has proved really quite remarkable, although it is still a challenge.
Yeah. So tell us about, so that the listeners can get, again, how did you tell us the status of where you're at in the competition? They select 10 based on what criteria?
So about a week ago, I found out about this online video competition, and basically users of this particular software, they offered plenty of languages. They have Italian, Japanese, Korean, Polish, they pretty much share their story, what they've learned, how they've used it, make a less than 2 minute long video, submit it, and of the 24 people who submitted, I happened to be one of the 10 who made it to the final, to the final round. And actually, voting for this contest ends on November 21st. And by the way, I am the only one in this contest representing a Native American language of any kind. So, let alone the Navajo language.
So, so obviously you had to put the video, whatever device you use, in front of you, and you sat there in front of it talking Navajo.
That's right. Did you happen to get a chance to see the video as of yet?
No, not yet, because I've just been trying to get the show all ready to go. So tell the listeners what the video is about.
So in the video, I display so far what I've learned of the Navajo language, a lot of it with this particular product and, you know, a lot of other self-study. And basically, you know, talk about how it's helped me family life, and definitely, you know, being able, you know, one of the things I highlight is being able to communicate with my monolingual grandmother, who doesn't really speak a word of English. You know, who's almost 80 years old now. You know, that's definitely one of the things I highlight in the video. You know, most of it is in Navajo. And yeah, I'm representing that, you know, against 9 other contestants. You know, among languages represented are Japanese, Korean. I know one contestant is doing French, or multiple are doing French, and then one young man actually did 3 languages. I found out the competition, and you know, I found out about it around about like 4:30, I believe, about a week ago. And actually, the media center at my university closed like at 5, so I rushed immediately there to rent out a video camera. And
oh my gosh!
I basically, you know, I kind of put something together given the time, you know, and the very little knowledge I had with video editing software. I kind of grew something together, you know, over a span of about, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours, and submitted it. And sure enough, you know, it was accepted, and then actually made it into the top, you know, of 24, made it into the top 10.
Wow. So, yeah, so that's where it's at, and I guess you're going to go into a competition. What are the criteria that they're using? I mean, is it, obviously you have to be almost, quote, fluent?
There is no particular criteria, but mainly they just said, you know, wanted us to, the contestants, to show what it is that we've been able to learn. If we learn a lot from the language, fluency is a hard thing to determine, but, you know, I mean, given the advanced sort of level that, you know, that Rosetta Stone teaches, it's generally assumed that, you know, long-term use to the product itself is definitely long-term use of this product, this specific product, has been shown to have proven results, and so much to the point that our military has this particular product, this particular computer software. Our military has resorted to actually using it for training of many of their recruits. So, I mean, pretty much, I mean, that was only the real criteria. There was nothing else other than you had to be 18 years older, or of age older, and live in the United States.
So, our time is kind of getting a little short here, but nonetheless, here's what I
I want to talk to you about now that you are now doing this thing. Obviously, it's a wonderful thing. Do you, let's talk real quickly about what motivated you to come to this point for you to, I mean, of course, you said you have a grandmother that is non-English speaking grandmother, and also that I'm sure you have a mother and father and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and all of that. But did you consider yourself to be fluent?
At the time that I had made the video?
Or even just at any point, what brought you to this situation, to where you had to, you know, why didn't you just go learn Navajo from your grandma?
Well, I mean, for this project in particular, I mean, I look at it from a couple different angles. One, I've studied two other languages over the last going on 6 years. I've learned languages out of a textbook. I've learned how to read and write two other languages, one of which, you know, has three different sort of alphabets. So naturally, due to circumstances, you know, obviously I live in Northern California, being able, you know, being to go back home to the res and just kind of hope, you know, that I can be with, you know, among relatives that, you know, will have no, you know, definitely have no
problem. Were you raised on the res?
Partially. We did live there for a brief amount of time. But it was a big part of, you know, of my childhood growing up. We usually went 2-3 times a year. And then actually when I was in fourth grade, we lived in Little Mountain, and then we lived in Chinle before we moved to Phoenix.
Oh, I see. Wow. So how difficult was it for you to have your parents or any of your relatives who are fluent in Navajo? Were they of any help to your learning?
I reckon that in some ways, I mean, it always was kind of a possible thing, but most of my generation of, you know, of people I grew up with, we were pretty much raised without the language. There's, you know, of our generation, of my cousin brothers and sisters, there's only about 4 or 5 who, you know, I'd say are a little more than semi-fluent at that. I mean, it was kind of one of those things that was never really talked about amongst our families.
Interesting. So, give us, so now that you're there, so you don't think that they were, I mean, why do you suppose that was, though? I mean, why? Because here's the thing that I keep hearing. You know, it's like, I wanted to learn Navajo, but nobody took the time. Is that true in your case?
Well, I'd say, yeah, that pretty much is a, you know, I'd say, yeah, that's pretty much a big part of my case. I mean, for example, I can't go to a community college here in Northern California and enroll myself in a Navajo language course. I mean, I'm sure I could probably easily do that with French or Russian, but I mean, it's kind of a special case in this case because we don't. It's a regional language that only really has standing in, you know, in really 2, I guess 3 states if you want to count Utah. In this country, so I mean, it's just really.
Hey, what are you talking about? If you want to count the state of Utah, certainly it's part of the union.
I mean, well,
I like it.
I know. Utah is generally disregarded as part of the big res for some reason.
I know.
But
go ahead.
But you know, I mean, so basically, I mean, I know that's changed a lot. If you're in Phoenix or probably Albuquerque or Tucson, yeah, I'm sure you could go to a community college and they'll probably be, or even Flagstaff. I mean, there's schools, there's resources, there's But at the same time, you know, for those of us who do live off of the reservation, and even those of us who do live on it, you know, it's basically, you know, we need tools that are in our reach, and this particular product just happened to be in my reach. I mean, it was something that I saw was for sale online. It was within the budget, and it was, you know, it was kind of due to circumstances. It was kind of the only kind of, you know, way to go about doing this thing, you know, which is basically two languages. And I know there's discrepancies, you know, there's different dialects, different ways of saying things. This particular product, you know, kind of, you know, but the Navajo language is very complex because it's geographically different. You go to different parts, they use different ways to say, you know, phrases. I'm pretty sure you probably run into that, you know.
Yeah.
Living out in Utah. So basically it's kind of, well, it was kind of, this is the way to go about it. Like there's, and you know, the fact that something like this is even offered in the Navajo language is, you know, for someone like me who, you know, spent, you know, nearly 6 years of my life, you know, dedicated to studying languages, you know, it's pretty remarkable to have this kind of a resource. But I mean, but basically, you know, it's kind of out of question, you know, to learn, you know, hardly any other. I'm not sure how Chris Deschini, if he learned through use of this particular product, or, you know, if he was taking classes or whatever, but definitely this, I can say that this product is a great start for, you know, people who are serious about wanting to learn.
Mm-hmm. So it is possible. So, and in closing, do you think that speaking of Chris Deschini in that situation, did that motivate you to bring more awareness, or was it just something that, or how did it have any influence on you?
Well, the whole thing with Chris Deschini, you know, here in Northern California, I don't know how much the rest of the world knows about us up here, but, you know, we're pretty liberal. We try to keep tabs on what's going on every square corner of the world. Anytime something happens on the big res, you know, we usually hear about it through our PBS channels out all the way up here, you know. And so this whole thing with Deschini, I mean, the fact that we have Al Jazeera, you know, based out in the Middle East reporting on it, this crisis that we had to deal with for 3 months is, you know, I'd say I was partially motivated by the whole problem with Deschini, but at the same time, you know, that's not to say that, well, now I want to run out and at the age of 30, you know, try and run for tribal president. I mean, you know, I think that was kind of the catalyst, kind of, you know, I've had this computer software for a while, and, you know, I definitely did look at what was going on there and said, well, you know, it's either now or never, you know, and I have this resource. So, you know, I got into a regimen. I started using it every day, you know, but, you know, I hardly have a lot of support in this. You know, I have to go through a lot of it alone, you know, but yeah. I just take it the same way I learned, you know, the other two languages, you know, kind of do it the same way. You know, it's a little easier for Danette Dazad because you don't have to learn how to read it. But, I'd say, our tribe being in the spotlight over this, you know, was definitely in my mind, you know, each day as I, you know, did my daily regimen of it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations, man. What I'm going to do is I'll put you on hold, and, you know, going to bring you back every week to kind of, you know, monitor. I don't know how long this is going to go, but I'd like to have you back and give us an update, and maybe we can introduce the product next week and all of that. So, Matt, thank you very much. And I'm going to bring another caller also. And let me see here. Let me bring them online here. Excuse me. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. And I have another caller. Looks from Arizona. Did you want to make a comment, or do you want to just, were you just listening in? Caller. Your last four digits is 3008. Can you hear me? Oops, they hung up. So, let's see, the next caller. Hello? Oh, wow, everybody, I guess, is just calling to, anyway, so nonetheless, so I'll just go ahead and continue with my conversation with Matt. So anything that you want to add to this discussion, Matt? We have about, I'm trying to bring some other people on, but they're all jumping, or they're all, I guess, they're a little gun shy. So go ahead, just continue with your story.
Yeah, is that me?
Yeah,
okay.
Matt, go ahead.
Well, do you have any questions you need to answer?
I mean, I think we've talked about the language, but now the motivation, there's two aspects of this thing that I'm really, 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 you know, wanting to find out. And that is that, you know, I really, truly believe that, you know, the language is something that, yes, it is really that we can, you know, that we need to save. We need to do whatever we can to preserve it. And so now you're doing this, and which is all great, and you know, I'm proud of you. But give us a sample of what you said on air.
What I've learned through this program.
Yeah.
All right. I learned a lot of stuff I haven't learned, but. Let's. How about this? I'll ask you a question in Navajo, and then you respond back in Navajo. How's that? Hello.
Okay. Say that again.
So I will. I'll ask you like basic questions in Navajo, and you can just tell me, you know, quick answers. So, if I just ask you, at the Batmanizen, Chiche.
I like it, Chiche. Well, that's a good way to put it. I guess I could be your Che. Ask me that first part again.
At the Batmanizen.
The Batenzen, which is like, are you, are you the Batenzen, Nshai?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. You're saying, are you thirsty?
Yes. Oh.
Oh.
And, you know, I can introduce myself. So if I were to introduce myself, I'd say, Yat A, Shay Matthew, Chi Brady, and Ishank, Ani Dinet, and Ishlin, Bilagana Dinet, and Bashi Shin, Tolfana Dinet, and Dashiche, Bilagana Dinet, and Dashi Nadin, Doga, Ashla E, Shinahai, California State University, Sacramento, the Ihochta, Nakai Bizado, Na dat spose bizad. Beyashtiet. So you were able to understand what I was saying?
Certainly. Yeah, congratulations.
I'm very proud of you. There's my little cheering section right there. So, yeah. I mean, that's really right on. So, do you think you can carry a somewhat of a conversational piece? I mean, or is it just something that you can... How far has this gotten you?
Well, actually, this past Sunday, I was in San Francisco for the final night of the American Indian Film Festival, which is a really big event. And, you know, I ran into quite a number of Navajo people there. And, you know, I look at the scarves, you know, I say, you know, they tell me, oh, that's, you know, this $20 or that's $5 or that, you know, or Bill said, Tadin Beso, Bahila, you know, this jewelry is $30. You know, I was able to, which is actually a very rarity, by the way, because where I live, unlike a place like Phoenix or Los Angeles or Albuquerque, there are hardly any Navajo people. So I was able to practice, you know, that I'm sure I probably wouldn't be able to, at this point, I probably would not be able to hold my own in a tribal council debate. But I want to just allude to something you said earlier in the broadcast when you mentioned, you know, you're trying to describe, what was it, like a copier machine?
Yeah.
And what you mentioned was, well, it's hard to do that without using a lot of English terms. And my response to that, and this is coming from someone who's studied, you know, three languages, is that basically, you know, Japanese has German words in it, and it has Portuguese words, and it has English words. Does that make it any less, you know, than being the Japanese language? The Spanish language has Arabic words in it. In fact, about a quarter of the Spanish language is Arabic. So, you know, a great portion of the Navajo language, you know, you have your English loan words, you have your Spanish loan words. I run into quite a number of them. And then, of course, you have words borrowed from other tribes, you know, in the Four Corners area. Does that make it any less than the Navajo language? I mean, you know, we've moved into an age where we can kind of assign words to newer kind of concepts, but, you know, the debate online is always, well, you know, there's really no fluency because there's just so much stuff you can't talk, but you have to keep throwing in English words. But I mean, you know, that's a universal language thing. Every language in the world has loan words from other languages. I mean, Chinese has ancient Persian, you know, so... You know, that is something that a lot of people don't really understand. It takes someone who's studied, you know, other languages to get that.
Yeah, very true. So, well, that was, this is Matt Brady. He is calling in from Sacramento, California, and congratulations again. And we'll keep you posted, ladies and gentlemen, you out there listening to the program Politics on the Navajo Nation. This evening we're we're talking about several topics, and the one that he just happens to call in on, we'll keep everybody posted. And once we really identify exactly what the direction of this whole contest is, you know, if it's one way that our tribe can, our youngsters, our younger generation can learn, you know what, by all means, let's give it a shot. Give it whatever it is. You know, if our elderlies are too impatient to teach, because that's one of the biggest things that I keep hearing is that, you know what, they weren't willing to take the time with us. So, but nonetheless, the effort's here, so I want to congratulate Matt, and we have about 7 minutes left, so I'll try to bring some other people on board. So, Matt, thank you.
Hey, you have a good night.
You betcha. Yep, there was Matt Brady. So, you know what? The bottom line is this. The Navajo language, and he's exactly right. We all know what it is and what desire it would take for the Navajo people to learn. And it might be a lifetime process, but it should not stop and it should not make us hesitate to teach one another. In this particular case, I mean, you know what? He says, yes, I go back home two or three times. But the fact of the matter is that this young man, he is in a competition. And I wish I could take one more step for him because he's looking for things. You can probably look at his Facebook page, and his name is Matt Brady, and he's on Facebook, and that's how. And, you know, inbox him directly and talk with him what it is that he, you know, what it is that he's looking for. But nonetheless, I mean, he's taken an opportunity where he's now teaching himself. Now, this whole thing, the outcome of this with Krista Cheney and that whole situation, yeah, it was a very bad thing. It was a bad thing for all and everybody, and just from the judicial branch to the legislative, and they're still talking about it. In fact, tomorrow in the council chamber, Thursday and Friday, they're going to be talking about that. And somewhere along the line, that's going to come up, and whether it's addressed or not. But now we're talking about the Navajo culture. Not only is it just the language, but the rest of it. We have songs, we have ceremonies, we have a way of life. It is not a religion, it's a way of life. And a way of life translates to, or I mean, it really is the spiritual aspect of our culture. It's not a religion. So we can't sit here and try to say, okay, well, it's a religion and therefore, you know, it's not an organized religion like a lot of, you know, a lot of the other form of worship throughout the world. And so now, but nonetheless, I mean, that's an aspect. So it reaches out to many, 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 many ways what defines being Navajo and what defines being fluent means. And so, you know, that was a good positive outcome, I think, that from this thing. And when I said that, you know, thank you to Mr. Krista Cheney for participating with us, I mean, I'm glad. I really did mean that that he was able to run. So, again, thank you very much for everybody that's listening in. This is Politics on the Navajo Nation, and it's Cal Nez. And then tomorrow, we're going to be, I'm very, very curious to see what's going to happen with Myron McLaughlin versus Russell Begay. Of course, the dynamics of that one is much, much different. And I talked to some of the participants today, and none of them wanted to go on air, and rightfully so. I mean, I didn't expect for them to disclose what they're going to say in court or in the hearing with the Navajo Office of Hearing and Appeals, Mr. Richinez's office. And that's going to convene, I believe, at 9 o'clock, and they're not going to stream because the Navajo Broadcasting Service, Channel 5, is going to be over at the Navajo Nation Council at the special session, which I understand has about 19 different issues and legislation that they're going to continue some old unfinished business. And one of these is the language and trying to change this thing. What they're trying to add to this thing is quite unique, and that is leaving the Navajo must speak fluent Navajo and also read and write English, and must speak and understand Navajo. And they're going to keep that as is, but they're adding the language, which is saying that we're going to allow, I don't know exact verbiage, but something along this line is that we're going to allow the Navajo voters to determine who or if this particular candidate is fluent. In my opinion, I as a voter think that Matt Brady is fluent. If he's one of the presidential candidates, then I'll vote for him. But if I don't think that he's fluent or neither of the candidates, I mean, this is really what's going to happen down the road is that, you know what, I think this guy – I mean, this guy thinks that he's fluent, so we might have two candidates. So then what happens if you have two candidates that are not understanding or does not speak the Navajo language fluently. So these are a lot of the issues and concerns that we're going to be addressing. And whatever happens, and think that we're just going to throw some laws and legislations together, you know what? We need to be careful because it sets a certain precedence. Because what happened at the president's office should have also happened for the Navajo Nation Council. Why is the one that has a little bit more of the power and the pull within the Navajo Nation government doesn't have to comply whether they speak English or Navajo? Because it says must speak and understand Navajo and or English. So in other words, if they don't speak Navajo, if they speak English, that's okay. But the president's office says they must speak fluent Navajo. So a lot of stuff to think about. So congratulations to Matt Brady and all you listeners out there. Thank you. Navajo Nation, everywhere, east, south, west, and north, and central, and continue to learn your Navajo. And all you off-reservation guests who joined us, thank you so much. Listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, and we'll talk again tomorrow night, and I'm going to try to do some interviews with the Myron McLaughlin versus Russell Begay tomorrow. Everybody's pretty much gone very much gun-shy on me. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. This is Cal Nez, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nez.